The following is a public hall lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 19th, 2010, in Burgas, Bulgaria.
Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming tonight to this program at the Art Gallery. Today we have just celebrated a wonderful festival called Jagannath Ratha Yatra. We have taken a deity form of the Lord through the streets of your wonderful city. It was a joyous occasion for everyone. We had a great time, and all the people of Burgas loved it also. We saw how much everyone was enjoying the Jagannath Ratha Yatra. So the question one may ask is, why are you people singing and dancing? Did your team just win a football game, or what happened? We are not celebrating an election or a football game. We are celebrating the holy name of God. The wonderful thing about this celebration is that you can always celebrate it. If you want to celebrate the football game, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, so you can't always celebrate. If you want to celebrate your party's election, they don't always win, so you can't always celebrate that either. But if you can celebrate the holy names of God, that celebration you can do every day, at every minute you can celebrate the holy names of God. Whenever name of God is given in your scripture, you say, Whether you chant Allah, Jehovah, or Krishna, or Christ, one should always vibrate the holy names of God. When rising in the morning, one should chant the names of God. Throughout the day, one should chant the names of God. And before going to sleep in the evening, again chant the names of God. There is a wonderful scripture called the Bhagavad Gita. In this holy scripture, in the 9th chapter, text number 14, Krishna describes the wonderful chanting of his holy names. Sattatam kirtayanto mam yatantashta dridha vrida namashantashta mam bhakcha nitya yukta upasate. Krishna says, always chanting my glories. Endeavoring with great determination and bowing down before me. These great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So who are those great souls? That can be you. If you want to become one of the great souls recognized by God, it is not difficult. All you have to do is follow this instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. Always chant the glories of God. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Yatantashta dridavrataha. Endeavor with great determination to please the Lord. Always bow down to the Lord whenever you have a chance. In this way you can always be absorbed in remembering that wonderful Lord. Nowadays, the scientists are telling us there is no God. They are saying that everything came out of absolutely nothing. But I ask you, is that a scientific concept? Science means you must give proof. The scientists say everything came out of nothing. But when has any scientist ever taken something out of nothing? There has never been one scientific experiment in the history of science that took something out of nothing. So this idea that you can get something out of nothing, this is not a scientific idea. So this atheistic philosophy that you get the universe comes out of nothing is not scientific. The way to look at things scientifically is to see that something comes out of something. And that something came out of something else, which came out of something else. If you go back to that original something from which everything came, then you have discovered God. Just like I have a father, and my father, he has a father, and his father has a father, and his father has a father. You keep going back to the original father, and that is God. Sorry, Charles Darwin, it wasn't a monkey. Charles Darwin may have come from the monkeys. But we did not come from the monkeys. So, we have to understand that there is a Supreme Person who is behind the universe. There is a Supreme Intelligence behind the universe. This is logical. This is scientific. Every machine requires an operator. Just like this nice little machine here called a harmonium. You see, it requires an operator. I have to pump it, I have to press the keys. Or this watch here, this Seiko watch that I have, it requires an operator. It doesn't operate on its own. This is a self-winding watch. If I stop moving, the watch will go dead. So everything we experience, like this microphone, for example, speaker system, every machine or every gadget that we see, it always requires an operator. So isn't this gigantic universe also operate like a machine? There's the spring. There's the summer. There's the fall. There's the winter. Aren't things going on systematically within this gigantic machine? So if every machine requires an operator within this world, why the universal machine would not require an operator? This is simple common sense. But what I can't understand is how these PhDs, with all that university training, they don't have any common sense. An average person on the street has more common sense than these big PhDs. That's why the average person, he can have faith in God. And by chanting those names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or any name according to your scripture, Allah, Jehovah, Christ, according to your faith. If you will regularly chant the names of God, you will feel transcendental bliss within your heart. You will feel how all the darkness in your life is gone. Your heart becomes full of light. You become full of happiness. Wherever you go, you can radiate love to everyone. Because you will see everything in relationship with God. You'll see your Burgas in relation with God. You will see the Black Sea in relation with God. You will see the whole planet Earth in relation with God. You will see your own existence in relation with God. And when you can see everything in relationship with God, it's not ugly anymore. It becomes so beautiful. Because you see the loving hand of the Lord behind everything. All you have to do is open your heart to the Lord by chanting His names with love. Everyone repeat after me, please. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
So you can chant these names according to the Vedas, or to your Bible, or your Quran, and you chant the names of God. It's better than any Beatles song. You will be just swimming in an ocean of bliss. So we invite you to join this happy life of chanting the holy names of God. Our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, started a wonderful movement called the Hare Krishna movement. He began it in 1966 in New York City. This movement is dedicated to introducing the ecstatic chanting of names of God, the names of God in every town and village throughout the world. And this is why we are here in your town today. We wanted to share with you the wonderful bliss of chanting the names of God. You see, at the present time, we are wasting our energy by simply serving our bodies. We serve our tongue. We serve our genitals. We serve our bodily demands. And what is the reward for all of this service to the body? We simply get sick, we get old, and we die. That's all. So instead of serving the body, which is a covering of the soul, the scriptures tell us that we should serve the need of the soul within the body. So serve your body as much as you need to stay healthy. That is all right. And then invest the balance of your energy in serving the soul within. By reconnecting the soul with the Supreme Soul, or God. Actually, we are not of this world. We are all originally inhabitants of the Paravyoma, or the spiritual world. We have been in this material world going through the cycle of birth and death for so many lifetimes. That we have forgotten our original identities in the spiritual world. And that's why we've gotten sidetracked into serving these material senses as the aim of our life. But by taking help from the bona fide spiritual master, taking help from the scriptures, taking help from the saintly devotees of the Lord, we can revive that lost mood of loving service to the Supreme Person. In this way, we will enter into our eternal existence. You don't have to wait for death to attain the kingdom of God. You can attain the kingdom of God right now. You simply have to fully surrender yourself to the will of God. That's all. Just like Lord Jesus Christ says in the Bible, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So, if we will try to do the will of God, instead of just serving our own material desires, then we will awaken in our eternal spiritual nature. Every morning when we wake up, we will feel how we are situated in our eternal spiritual nature. And we will be so happy. So how will we find out the will of God? I remember when I was a young spiritual seeker back in 1971. I wanted to become spiritually enlightened. And I had gone to hear so many gurus and swamis, but nobody could give me very good instructions. But I trusted Jesus. I knew that he was a great saintly teacher. So I was reading the Bible, trying to see what was the secret of success for Lord Jesus Christ. And one morning when I found that verse that I just quoted for you, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." I knew I'd found it. Wow, that's it. For years I was looking for spiritual enlightenment. And now I know the secret. I just have to do what God wants. Forget what I want. What does God want me to do? That's it. But I had one problem. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I was waiting for a voice from the sky. There was no voice. But I finally realized, well, I can't hear God, but God can hear me. So I started begging God every day. Dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. I figured if I kept bothering him long enough, he would probably answer my prayer. And sure enough, he did. 175 miles away from my house, there was a great saintly teacher. His name was His Holiness Vishnu Janaswamy. I prayed to God to tell me how to serve him, and the Vishnu Jana Maharaj got a message, an inspiration that he should come to my city. That city is called Austin, Texas. So Vishnu Jana Swami, he came to my city. And he enlightened me how to become a servant of God. I was absolutely amazed by this great saintly teacher. He had no money, he was in the renounced order of life. He had no motor vehicle. He didn't even have an assistant. He didn't have any madanga drum, he didn't have any kartals, he didn't have a harmonium. All he had was his hands and his voice. And he stood on the street and he was singing, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And you know, it was a miracle. Within several weeks, he had a house. filled up with devotees who decided to surrender their lives to Krishna under his direction. It was absolutely amazing. So when I saw this Vishnu Janaswami, I knew that here was a person who was serving the will of God, and he was really doing it. I could see how God was blessing him in so many amazing ways. And one night he gave me a very poignant instruction. In those days I was a member of the countercultural movement called the hippie movement. And we believed in getting intoxicated and staying intoxicated. That was our philosophy. So one evening at a program, I went into the kitchen to get a drink of water, and Vishnu Jana Maharaj was there in the kitchen. The two of us were there alone in the kitchen. And he gave me the most potent instruction. He said this: you have to become sober. And I went, wow. I mean, sober was what we didn't want to be. But here was a person who was divinely intoxicated at every minute. He was flying high in spiritual bliss at every minute. He was the most intoxicated person I'd ever seen, and he wasn't taking any drugs. He was just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And he was so intoxicated that just by being in his presence, she would be intoxicated with bliss. And then he told me, you have to become sober. I knew he was really into something special. And I realized, I want to be like Vishnu Janaswami. This is a true man of God. So he told me all about his spiritual master, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And even though I was a very wild character at those days, he allowed me to live in the ashram. And even in the ashram, I was still a pretty wild character. And it really amazed me, because Vishnu Janaswami, after I'd been there for 6 months chanting japa and following our principles, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, this boy Steve, he's been serving very nicely in our temple, and I recommend him for initiation. I couldn't believe the kindness of this Vishnu Janaswami. I was practicing nothing but trouble for the devotees. And he told Prabhupada I was serving very nicely. So in this way, Prabhupada, on the word of Vishnu Janaswami, he accepted me as his disciple and gave me the name Sankarshan Das. That was almost 40 years ago. And so I've been chanting this Hare Krishna every day and following religious principles of no illicit sex. No meat eating. No intoxication. No gambling. I have strictly followed the order of my spiritual master now for almost 4 decades. And I can tell you this. This lifestyle of serving the order of the bona fide spiritual master is absolutely ecstatic. And you know something? You can do it too. You can stay at home. You can stay with your family and do everything you're doing now. Where is the book table? In the back. We have books. Everyone, please, before you go, get one of our books. Take it home and read it. We have our local leader here, Nitai Chandra. Stand up, please. He's our local leader in Burgas. He will guide you how to practice the teachings in these books. And you can have the same wonderful ecstatic life that I'm feeling, that Chandravali Maharaj is feeling, and all these devotees are feeling. You can have the same nectar that we're tasting every day. Simply read these books, chant Hare Krishna or any name of God according to your religion, and become a lover of God. That's all. So now I can ask if you have any questions. We have very good answers, yes. His question. Yeah, I saw your hand go up. What is your question?
No, they're joking.
We want serious questions. This is not, even though this is very blissful, it is not joke. This is very serious thing. I will tell you the same thing that Vishnu John Swami told me. You have to become sober. Sober. No joking. Sober. Yeah. Is there any question? Yeah.
How one can become sober? Serious.
Yes, the way to become serious is sober is to hear very carefully the message of Krishna. Just imagine that you were in a hotel and you woke up in the middle of the night and there was smoke everywhere. The hotel was on fire and you couldn't see a thing. It was pitch, the smoke completely blinded you. You couldn't see anything. And then you heard somebody yelling from outside. You had a balcony outside, and you heard somebody yelling from below the balcony. Come over here. We have a net. We'll catch you. Jump out of the balcony. We can save your life. Now you couldn't see anything because it's totally smoke everywhere. You're choking. It's horrible. You can't hardly breathe. There's smoke everywhere. Would you be serious to hear from which side that voice came? Would you be serious and sober to see where you are to jump? You bet you would. Because that's what's going to save your life. So if you understand, this whole material existence is a blazing forest fire. And the words of the scripture can save us from this fire. And if you don't hear with seriousness, you will perish. You will be dragged down to the animal kingdom in your next lifetime. If you have this understanding, then you will hear very seriously and very soberly. You won't giggle about it. You will take it very seriously. So, are there any other questions? Yes.
we only need to chant the names of God. But if all the mankind just chants the name of God, it would be too much chanting. Everyone is going to chant.
Actually, they're already chanting so many things. Now they are all chanting a different mantra. Money, 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 sweeter than honey. Everyone is chanting the money, money mantra right now. The whole world is money minded. But can you eat money? You ever made out a salad out of leva nuts? It's called the leva, right? The currency? You ever made it take leva and cut it up and make a salad, a leva salad? You cannot eat money. But everyone's chanting the money mantra from morning till evening. Money, 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 money. How can I earn it? How can I spend it? That's all they're constantly chanting that mantra, isn't it? So instead of chanting the money mantra, let them chant the names of God. And then everyone will become happy. It's like the bird, he's chanting the, where is the, he's going chirp, 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 chirp. Where's the worm? Where's the worm? Where's the worm? Where's the worm? He's chanting the worm mantra. The human being is chanting the money mantra. But these things will not give ultimate satisfaction to the self. Since we're going to chant some mantra anyway, why not chant that mantra which would connect us with our eternal blissful nature? That is our proposition. What do you think of our proposition? You think it's crazy?
He said it's a good proposal, but I don't think it's
practical.
We should only do this. It's not practical today.
No, you can do your normal work. That's all right. If you're a painter, you can remain a painter. If you're a dancer, you can remain a dancer. If you're a businessman, you remain a businessman. If you're a politician, you remain a politician. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yat karoshi yadasnasi yajjahosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kadushva madarpanam. He says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, O son of Kunti, do that as an offering to me. So we never say stop your ordinary work. You do your ordinary work. But you have a period of meditation in the early morning to begin your day. Absorb yourself in the early morning hours, chanting the holy names of God. And then your day will be amazing. You're being flying high in the spiritual sky at every minute while you do your normal work. Now this gentleman next to you, he was the gentleman who interviewed me. It's nice to see him again. Yes.
Oh.
he's asking if Krishna consciousness philosophy makes difference between the meditation for the spirit and the meditation for the soul.
Actually, spirits, we say spirit soul, spirit hyphen soul, because they're the same thing. The soul is spiritual. Spiritual means not material. So the soul means the self, the actual self. You are soul, you are not body. You see? So we say that you are a spirit hyphen soul. Because soul means your actual identity, your real identity. And that actual identity is spiritual. So we use the term spirit soul in the hyphen as one term, the spirit soul. In Sanskrit language, this is called jiva. So you are the jiva, you are the spirit soul. Are there any other questions? Yes.
He said that most of us know that the soul is mortal, and what happens to the spirits then?
Yes, soul is more immortal. The actual soul is immortal. The body is mortal. The soul is seated in the body as a driver, seated within the heart. If I ask you to point to your nose, and point to your ear, and point to your eye, if I ask you to point to yourself, wherever you point, point to your nose. Do this. Point to your nose. Point to your ear. Point to yourself. Wherever you point. Show me exactly where you point. Yes, your heart. That's right. That you have an intuitive understanding that you, the spirit self, are seated within the heart, and that's the fact you are. The heart is the driver's seat for the body. The driver is the immortal spirit soul. And the body is the mortal vehicle. Here's a little philosophical mantra. Please remember this. I am not this body. If you can always remember, I am not this body, I am an eternal spirit soul. Servant of God. Then you'll never have an identity crisis. You'll never need a psychologist or a psychiatrist. You'll always be completely together in all circumstances. Just got to remember, I'm not this body. I'm the eternal spirit, soul, servant of God. Does that answer your question?
No.
All right, anything else? Yes?
He would try to answer this question. Because he said no.
He said no?
He said no.
All right, let me tell me what you don't understand.
Is there a difference between soul and spirit, according to you? Where is the one and where is the other?
Soul and spirit are the same thing.
All the impressions that we acquire from our senses, they go to the spirit or to the soul?
The subtle mind is the repository. You have a subtle body also, which is composed of mind, intelligence, and false ego. That is the repository of all the images that you experience. You have a big database within the subtle body. That's called the subtle body. The subtle body records all the experiences of this lifetime and in previous lifetimes as well. When you leave the gross body, the subtle body and the soul go to the next gross body if you're not liberated yet. But if you are conscious of God at the time of leaving your body, then you will attain your original spiritual form in the spiritual world. You won't take another material body, and the subtle body also will not be there anymore as well. So, you have a question more? All right. So I wanted to thank you all very much, and now now we're going to have another nice talk by His Holiness. Huh? What's that? Some entertainment now? All right. Okay, thank you very much.